All right. Came across, I learned my lesson many times in life. You don't take advantage of opportunities, you're finished. I learned that lesson many times in many different ways and forms. I'm Avin Yavin. One area I learned that lesson is with Sfarim. You go into a Sfarim, so you go into Bigelizen, they publish. He gets there every week, he gets there. It's the first stop for all for new Sfarim. People publish Sfarim. The first place where a new Sefer will appear will be in Borough Park on 16th Avenue, 43rd Street, Bigelizen Books. It's a one-of-a-kind store where it's basically the first stop for all new Sfarim. They get even they get even before in Eretz Yisrael. They first ship it from Eretz Yisrael to America, and then so a lot of times you come there, you see a Sefer, nice Sefer. So this is an impressive Sefer, and I don't have the money to buy it. Okay, I don't have a need for it now. Maybe one day I would like to get around to learning what using the Sefer. But right now I don't have a need for it, so I'm not going to buy it. And then you come back, and then that's it. The person prints it, they sell it, it's sold out. You'll never ever see it again for the rest of your life. And most of the time you won't even remember that you even saw the Sefer. And if you do remember you saw the Sefer, you won't remember the name, you won't remember the Mechaber, and you'll go to the store and say, I remember a couple of years ago I saw the Sefer you had here, and they look at you and they say, I don't know what you're talking about. I need a name, I need an author. So no, they don't have a computer there. There's not a way. So I came across the Sefer and I said, you know something? This looks really good. Moshe Raya Mehemna, a whole Sefer on Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was one Sefer left. And I said, and I was glancing through. I said, wow, it looks pretty good. If I don't get it now, it'll be gone. So Baruch Hashem, I had enough seichel to get it. And I have it here, so today I was able to go through, spend not that much time, just spend a few minutes, and it's really, really fascinating stuff. Almost everything here I never heard before, and that doesn't mean anything, because I don't know anything anyway, but it's still very fascinating stuff. So first, let's start. From Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site is this Sunday, Zion Adin. Now, first of all, the first thing he wants to point out over here in the Sefer is that we have been brainwashed to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was born and died on Zion Adin. The truth is, it is a major machlekes tanoim as to when Moshe was born. Okay, and is found in Sefer Hadoros, Yalkut Shmoini, and according to one Tana, he was born Esther Rabba. According to Rabbi Eliezer, okay, he died on Zayin Shvat. So we're a little bit late. Zayin Shvat, not Zayin Adar. According to Rabbi Yoshua, that's how we paskin, he died on Zayin Adar. According to Rabbi Elazar Hamodoi, he died. It was a Shanu Mubares, the year that Moshe died, and Yitaka died on Zayin Adar Rishon. Okay. And then there are other opinions. He cites here from Ois Vav. He brings Midrashim. He brings all collection of sources, which is not going to go to all, tell you all the sources. Seyed HaDorois and all a whole collection of sources. Some say that he died on Aleph Adar. Okay? I'm sorry. The Be'echad Ba'adar, Be'echad Ba'adar Meis. Okay, the first day. So we're too late for that also. Some hold that he died Aleph Shvat. And some hold that he died Vav Adar. Everything here is sourced. Okay, so this that we are accustomed to Moshe dying on Zayin Adar is not so simple. It's the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. It is widely accepted. V'zehu.
Well, and that's accepted because we backtrack from the Kriyas Yayar then.
Okay, so you can backtrack. Everything has an answer. Everything has another way, another cheshbon.
And that's the way the Chazal, the Kriyas Yayar, the analyzed Haman's reason.
Okay, right. So, all Haman was a chodesh shemais by Moshe. It doesn't say Zion. All it says about Haman, if I'm not mistaken, the Medrash is that the Haman was somach simcha gedolah sheb. In this chodesh, there was the petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say on the date, the actual day that Moshe died. Little did he know that in Adar Moshe was also born. Okay, let's just run through a few things. Just a few short things that caught my attention. Number one, at what time, when, and what day of the week did Moshe Rabbeinu die? This really is a major machlokes apayiskim in real shailus. We accept that Moshe died on Shabbos b'shas mincha. And that is why we say tzidik hadin, tzidik hadin. We have a tradition. We say three psukim. There are three tzadikim who died Shabbos mincha. Moshe, Yosef, and David died at the same time on Shabbos in the afternoon, the time of mincha. We say tzidik hadin, and we do not greet each other by saying good Shabbos after mincha as a zecher for the avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Some hold you're not supposed to even learn. It's avelus mamish. That's why you say baruchi nafshi, say tehillim, you say pirkei avos. You're not supposed to engage in Talmud Torah because of din of avelus, even on Shabbos in commemoration of the patir of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, next. Just a cute little remez to this. Moshe Avdi Meis. So, no, I don't like this. So the second letter of each of these words is Shabbos. Moshe, the second letter is Shin, Moshe. Avdi is Beis, the second letter Avdi. Meis, as long as two letters, is Sof, which is Shabbos. A rem is that Moshe done on Shabbos, Moshe Avdi Meis. Now the mage, there many poskim are very disturbed with this opinion because it's Chazal tells Moshe he wrote on the day of his Petira, right, 13 Sifrei Torah. You're not allowed to write on Shabbos. So how could Moshe write 13 Sifrei Torah and on the day that he died? Okay, there are a lot of answers, Lomish answers, let's go further. And Moshe Rabbeinu also always dies, or his Petir is always in the week of Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, Sunday is the first day of Parshas Tetzaveh, which is Moshe's name is not mentioned. Moshe said, "Hashem ocheinu misifcha shekho softov." You don't forgive Klal for the eagle. Therefore, Moshe is not. Therefore, it's not a coincidence that Moshe is missing in the parashah Tetzaveh. How many psukim are there in Parashas Tetzaveh? How many psukim are there? 101. There are 101 psukim in Parashas Tetzaveh. How do you spell Moshe? Mem. How do you spell mem? Mem mem. How do you spell shin? Shin yud nun. How do you spell hey? Hey. Hey aleph. The letters that are not written, the invisible letters, add up to the gematria of 101. Moshe is nelam in the parsha that has that gematria. You pronounce Moshe mem shin hey. But how do you spell mem? Mem mem. How do you spell shin? Shin yud nun. So take the mem, the second mem, and take the yud nun, and take the aleph of hey. How do you spell hey? There are really three ways to spell hey, but one way is only hey aleph. The invisible letter of hey is aleph. Add up the aleph, the yud nun, and the mem, and you get 101. Moshe is nelan. The part of Moshe that is invisible is 101. Which parasha has 101 psukim? That corresponds to the invisibility. The invisibility of Moshe is Parashas Tetzaveh. Okay, next thing, I like this remez. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was Makana Aaron. He said, I want to die. What? The invisible letters.
That's called the invisible letters.
Okay, next remez. I like this remez. Remez is Moshe, we know, was Makane Aaron. Moshe, he assisted Aaron in his petira by taking off the clothing, putting it upon his son Elazar, v'chulu. Why was he Makane Aaron? So the Chazal say is that the day of Aaron's petira, the following year will be the day of his Ushpizin, on Sukkot. So if Aaron died when? Rosh Chodesh Av. Let's say, for argument's sake, Rosh Chodesh Av falls out on a Tuesday. Make believe. Can't, I don't know. On a Tuesday. Sukkot. The first day Sukkot is... who's the Yishpizim the first day? The first day Sukkot. Avraham. Yitzchak. Yaakov. Moshe. Aaron. The fifth day of Sukkot... Let's assume according to the Machlok, because Yosef comes first. Let's look with symbol that we go Moshe and Aaron comes first. The fifth day of Sukkot will always be a Tuesday. If Rosh Chodesh Av is a Wednesday, that means the fifth day of Sukkot will always be a Wednesday. The day of the Petira of Aaron will always come down. The following year, that will be the day of his Ushpizin. For some reason, I don't know why, there's something significant about that, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that as well, so Hashem gave it to him. And it's the same thing when it comes to Moshe. If Moshe's Zayin Adar is Sunday, that means that the following year, next year, Haba Aleinu L'Toivah on Sukkot, the sixth day of Sukkot will be the same Sunday. Is that correct? Look at the calendar.
No.
It's not going to happen? Does it work out according to the other Rishmizim?
Rosh Hashanah Monday.
Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, so
so what about if Yosef, let's say we put Yosef first. Avram is of Yaakov, Yosef, then Moshe, Moshe. So that's what we would say. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So then it's either going to be Moshe, or it's going to be Yosef. Then it's going to be Moshe. So does that work out? It's got to work out according to one of those two opinions. The Ushpizin and consistent with what we said about Aram.
Sunday would be
Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday.
The fourth day. So Avram is of Yaakov, Moshe. So it does work out. Aaron is the same thing. And here's the remes. This is the remes. Umus Behar, Hashem says to Moshe, you will die in the mountain. Ve'he'osef el anecha. The word he'osef is a code word for Sukkos. Chaka'osef. You will die Behar. Ve'chaka'osef b'yomad u'shpiza. Delay. Kasher meis Aaron. The pasuk concludes. Kasher meis Aaron achicha Behar. Behar ahar. Va'ye'osef el amav. Just like Aaron, it works out that Rosh Chodesh Av will always correspond to the day of the week of Rosh Chodesh Av will always correspond to the day of the week of the Ushpizin of Aaron on Sukkot. So to you, Moshe, you will also have that same exact event. And that's Merumis in this pasuk. Okay, I see you don't exactly have my taste, but that's okay. Let's go further. Moshe lived how many years? 120 years. 120 years, how many years is this world supposed to exist for? For 6,000 years. How many 50s? When you divide 6,000 by 50, how 120. So Moshe Rabbeinu, a person who lives 120 years, a person is Truma. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Truma of this world, the Zman, just like in Zman, how much Truma does a person have to give? So a stingy person gives 1/60th. A generous person gives 1/40th. A Beinoni gives 1/50th. Moshe Rabbeinu in Chazal in the Zohar was called the Trumas Ha'olam, meaning being that he lived for 120 years and the world is meant to exist for 6,000 years, so 120 is 1/50th, was the Truma. Moshe was very sad that he had to die. Because Moshe, according to this Chazal, this is very, very fascinating, was really meant to live how much longer? Think about that. Moshe says, Ribbono Shel'olam, it's not fair. Why do I have to die? Just because I hit the rock, I didn't speak to the rock, I have to die. Just because I did this minor avera, Hashem says that's how it is. So let's say Moshe would have lived. How long would Moshe have lived for? So I always wondered about this. So it says he would have lived 150. Why? Because Moshe is Truma, and Truma can be 1/50th, 1/40th, and 1/60th. Moshe wanted to be the Midas Chasidus. He wanted to be Truma 1/40th. 150 years is 1/40th of 6,000 years. So Moshe would have lived another 30 years had he not hit the rock. How do you like that? Okay, when not 60.
Who says 150?
150.
150
times
4 is
6,000. Truma. The Gra says this. Baderes Eliyahu cost of the time.
160 because.
No, 150 he says.
It wasn't his fault that the Meraglim punished him 40 years.
No, he was supposed to live. The Gra says. That's why they cried for him. And that's the Gra says. That's why they cried 30 days. Why 30 days? Yom Lashana. Every day they cried for Moshe Rabbeinu was a day that would correspond to a year that Moshe should have lived. Klal Yisrael cried, "Vayivkus Moshe shloshim yoim, kineged shloshim shana shenechshu lo yoim l'shana." Okay, very fascinating. Moshe was meant to live 150 years. Because of the chait of the Mei Hamariva, he goes cut to 30. What's 120, 150? Truma. Is it 1/50th or is it 1/40th? A Benoni is 1/50th. A Chassidus is 1/40th. Okay, next short idea. What do you do on Zayin Adar? Do you fast or do you celebrate? Mitzad Echad, Moshe was born. Listen, Haman made the big mistake. It was a Yom Sim of a Klai, so Moshe was born. On the other hand, Moshe Benu died. So, Halacha L'maisa, the Litvaks, we fast. We're supposed to, Shulchan Aruch, he's supposed to fast. It's a very great Sarah. And however, there is a minog, it's brought down by many, that some, it's only supposed to fast a half a day. And the other half a day you celebrate. First half of the day you fast, commemorating the petir of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the second half of the day, after Chatzos, you have a Suda to celebrate the Leida of Moshe Rabbeinu. Today we do none of the above, unfortunately, but...
But that obviously follows the Shita that is on the same calendar day.
That Moshe was born and died on Zion. We accept that. We accept that Moshe was born and died on Zion. It says nowhere that Moshe was born on Zion Adar. It's an assumption that Hashem is mashlim the yomim v'shonim of tzadikim liyoyim liyoyim from day to day, and therefore we assume if Moshe died on that day, then Moshe was born on that day. And that's also only true if you learn that Moshe was born mohul, noilad mohul, because the person is not yet does not really begin. His life doesn't really begin until the bris milah. So Moshe was born with the bris milah, so therefore his real leida was Zion Adar. Okay, next. Why do we fast on Tainis Esther? So we discussed this at great length 2 days ago. At great length, why do we fast on Zion Adar? So is it because, I'm saying, why do we fast on Tainis Esther? On Yud, Gimel, Adar. So we discussed, we fast to, it was the day of Milchama. It was Sakonis Nefashos. There was a Gzeru, Lahashu Laharag. We had to defend ourselves. Yom Mechama. Is that the time? It's a very weak time, it appears. The time appears because it's a commemoration of the 3 days that Mordechai, Esther, and Klai Yishol fast, Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim. There were 3 days where they got to live. And we can't do it on Pesach, so we do it in advance. We say one day before Pesach, we fast one day to commemorate the days of Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim. However, it's cited here in a sefer called Imre Pinchas, which itself is citing another source from sefer Imre Pinchas, is that the reason why we fast on Tainis Esther is really we're fasting for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe died on Zion Adar, but Moshe's death is incomplete for seven, it's like the end of Shiva. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. The seventh day of Shiva for Moshe Rabbeinu is Yud Gimel Adar. And we know that Moshe's neshama did not leave this world. There's such a tradition. You always hear this in the Beis Avel, is that why that you, the Avelus takes place in the place where the Nifter lived, because his neshama hovers in that Mokoim until the end of the Shiva. At the end of the Shiva, you walk around the block to escort the neshama, now goes to Shemayim. The neshama, to some degree, is still present in the bayis until for 7 days. Al-Achad, now maybe we don't appreciate that because we are in the Skadnu Hadoros, we're living in a different world today, but Moshe Rabbeinu was Kodesh Kadoshim, his neshama was still sensed among Klal Yisrael for 7 days. So the real Petira, when we should really focus on fasting, is Yud Gimel Adar. That's Tainis Esther. We connect it to Purim. We call it Tainis Esther because of Purim. They fasted. It was in Mochama. Lech Knes Kol HaYehudim. But why is it on that day? Part of the equation, part of the Kavana of why you're fasting on Yud Gimel Adar is to commemorate the Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Next. Now that we'll talk a little bit Chevra Kadisha, we all know that the Chevra Kadisha, there's a minute, we'll discuss a little in a moment, there's a minute that the Chevra Kadisha, every community, they get together and they have a Su'uda on Zion. In other words, they first fast on Zion Adar, they go to the cemetery on Zion Adar, and they ask Mechila from the Mason, they say Slichis, there's an entire Seder Hayoim for the Chevra Kadisha, what should be done on Zion Adar, and then when the day is over in the evening, there is a su'ud, a lavish su'ud that is attended by the entire community and by all the rabbanim to be mechazek, to give kavoy to the chevra kadisha. Interesting shaila. This year it's nogea. Kiddush levana. Okay, there are many people that don't do kiddush levana until mitzvah Shabbos. Okay, for the Mishnah Berurah says that if there's no danger that you're going to lose, you wait until mitzvah Shabbos. This year Zion Adar is Sunday. So you go out Mitzvah Shabbos to Kiddush Levana, but it's also the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu. Is it proper to do Kiddush Levana on the Petira, on the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu? You're in Avelos. An Avel generally does not do Kiddush Levana. The Avel has to wait until after Shiva to do Kiddush Levana. You don't do Kiddush Levana in a state of Avelos. So believe it or not, there is a minug. I don't think anyone practices this minug, but it is done by some. Hakpada, not to do Kiddush Levana on Zion Adar. And this year it's Nogea us, because many of us don't do Kiddush Levana until Mitzvah Shabbos, and this year Mitzvah Shabbos is Zayin Adar, don't do Kiddush Levana. We are all in Avelus from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the proper thing to do. And some say you shouldn't even do it in the beginning of the month. Until the Ches, you shouldn't do it, because we're coming to the Avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Halacha l'maisa, you're going to see people are going to do it. They're not going to pay much attention to this. They are going to do Kiddush Levana. We don't follow this minhag. Okay, what about getting married? Is it proper to have a wedding schedule catering to get married Sunday? Okay, Sunday, nice day to get married Sunday. Sunday afternoon. So some hold that it's not the right day to get married on Zayin Adar. A baby is born on Zayin Adar. Should you name or as a bris? Let's say either the baby is born on Zayin Adar, or the bris milah takes place on Zayin Adar. Should you give the name of the baby Moshe, in honor of Moshe? So who, my Saraf, who was born on Zayin Adar and has the name Moshe? Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was born on Zion. The reason why they named him that, the bris was not on Zion Adar. The bris was 8 days later, which was Purim, right? Purim, Yudalit. Moshe's bris was on Purim. No, that was on Purim. He was Nifter on Tainus Esther. That's right. He was Nifter Tainus Esther. That means Hashem was Mashlum Shnoisav Miyoim Liyoim. I want to explain to you. The day of Shlemos is the day your life first begins, when you get a bris milah. That's when your life... Moshe is Zion, because Moshe was Noilad Mohol. But a person that's born 8 days later is when he gets the bris. And the year ends, not Bo Bayom. The last day is the day before. Is really Hashem Yimashin, because it's already Bar Mitzvah is 13 years and 1 day. Okay, we observe Bar Mitzvah on the wrong day. Really, the Bar Mitzvah should be observed the day before the birthday. That's the end of 13 years. 13 years in 1 day, whatever it is, that's how it's done. Moshe Feinstein was born on Zion. The bris was on Yudalit. And he was Nifter on Tainus Esther. Hafle v'fela. Hashem was Mashlam, Shneitzav Shal Adam, Mamish Miyoyim Liyoyim. Miyoyim Liyoyim. From the time of the bris milah, all the way the cycle to the last day of the next of the year. Okay, any then, so Rav Moshe Feinstein was born on Purim and he was named Moshe. But his bris was born on Zion and his name Moshe. This appears to be a machlekes, and I don't know the details, but some hold bedafka you should not do this. Now, it could be only if the bris is on Zion, because no one is like Moshe. You can't go give a person, you can call a person Moshe, but if the bris is taking place on Zion, and now on Zion Bo Bayom, on the Yortzeit of Moshe, now to call him the name Moshe, some place can hold that it's not a covered for Moshe Rabbeinu to call a person by his name, because V'leikam K'moshe. V'leikam K'moshe. You shouldn't make believe that this is going to be a second edition of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe Rabbeinu really wasn't Kabbalah
Right, so Zion. Moshe was Noilad, that's what I said. Moshe was Noilad on Zion and died on Zion. And died. Rav Moshe Feinstein was Noilad on Zion, was Mohol on Yud Dalid, and was Nifter on Yud Gimel. It's like Lashon Lashon, it's a different thing. Next topic. What are you supposed to do on Zion? On Zion? So some have a minute to light candles, and some hold also by I remember learning this last year with you, is that the Al-Shech says this, he quotes this, is that the Medrash, the mitzvah of matonos lo evyonim was established by Mordechai in honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came to assist, to help Mordechai be mispal for Klal Yisrael, and in honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was misaking the mitzvah of matonos lo evyonim. So when you give matonos lo evyonim, you're really doing something for the zechus of the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now.
Did you go into the reason why
wait for the end. Come down there. Okay. Next quick idea. Now I don't know anything about this, but he devotes an entire chapter to the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rashbi. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. In Eretz Yisrael, it seems there is a meaning to go to the cave of Rashbi and Zayin Adar. He has an entire chapter with a lot of very deep esoteric mystical things explaining the connection between Moshe and Rashbi. It's interesting to note that the Lag BaOmer is on the 33rd day. From the time of Moshe's Petira until we came into Eretz Yisrael on Yud Nisan was exactly 33 days. What is this? I don't know, but the number is there as well. 33 days from Moshe's material to the Knisa of Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. These two are represent two different extremes. One is similar. One thing that I like the best, on a very simple level, is that both Moshe and Rashbi represented people who looked for, were advocates for Klal Yisrael. There was no greater advocate. Talk about Moshe. You want to talk, what's Moshe's gedula? What are you going to say? Go to a yard side suda. You go to a yard side suda. Hey, it's a yard side of my this relative, that relative. And you have a chance to say, people are running to work, making a tikkun, you put up some shtav, some cake. They'll give you literally 30 seconds. Nunu, what do you want to say about Zayda, your tata? What do you want to say? A few words. What would you say about Moshe Rabbeinu? He gave us the Torah? Okay. A lot of things you can say. There's a whole book here. What you can say. What caught my attention is, he was an advocate for Klal Yisrael. Zichor la'Avraham le'Yitzchak le'Yaakov, when Klal Yisrael were down and out, when we was curtains finished kaput, we were Hashem wanted to hedef mimeni, leave me alone ve'achale oisam. Who was the one that was oimed b'peretz and saved Klal Yisrael? Moshe. Moshe. There was no greater advocate for Klal Yisrael than Moshe. This really, to a very large degree, is his legacy. Torah of Ada, Torah of Moshe, the whole everything is. But talk about, halacha l'maisa. What has he done? What have you done for me today? I'll advocate. Who else was one of the biggest advocates of Klal Yisrael in the later times? Rashbi. Rashbi comes out of the cave after 13 years. Eliezer, he sees people working. Can you imagine what he would say? He would go to come to America, get off the subway, and go down Times Square. What would Rabbi Eliezer say? Okay, he would look around, Eliezer, he saw people working, and he gave a look, burnt them up. He gave, what are you doing? I'm an accountant. I'm a lawyer. I'm a daf. He gave one look, he wanted to destroy the entire world. Rashi said to his son, Eliezer, calm down. Calm down. Calm down. It's kedai. What were his exact words? Let me find his exact words. He was melamed senegori al klal Yisrael. Let me find the words. Kol hecha demachei Rabbi Elazar havi masei Rabbi Shem healed. V'zehoy af ala kinois aprishus. Okay, he was melameid zuchus. He says if they did, they did. Zoch, he saw a person running with two roses. Echad keneged zochar keneged shomor. The tiskile bechad. Here's the advice: it was he saw a person running with two roses. And why do you have two roses for Shabbos? So Rashbi says you need two. One is enough. Okay, one is enough. So he said, echad keneged zochar v'echad keneged shomar. Amale Rashbi libre. Rashbi said to Rabbi Eliezer, chazi. Look how precious mitzvahs are to Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of depth in this Gemara, because in this mice is where Rabbi Elazar wanted to literally destroy the world, and Rashbi says, don't destroy the world. This was a limud zichus for Klal Yisrael, similar to the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. These two go together. The age-old question is, why is it on the patira of Moshe do we fast, and then why is the patira of Rashbi do we celebrate? Hilula, make a celebration, and you have a suda, and you have a bonfire, v'chul, so there are many answers. One answer is, Moshe did not leave over a tzaddik k'moisei. His children were not on his level. So when Moshe was Niftar, there was a void. On the other hand, when Rashbi was Niftar, he left over Rabbi Eliezer, who was an equal to him. So therefore, there was no void. Therefore, it's not a tsar. It was a time of simcha. Another answer is Moshe did not fulfill his tafkid. Moshe was meant to live another 30 years. He was meant to go into Eretz Yisrael. He failed in that respect. Whereas Rashbi did live in Eretz Yisrael, and he succeeded. Another answer is Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to die. He wanted to live. Rashbi couldn't wait to go. He couldn't wait to go. Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh. So when finally he was released from this world to go to where he wanted to go, it was for him considered to be a very great simcha. Okay, winding down. winding down. Let's see now. Now there's another inyan of there's another fast day on the ninth day of Adar. Okay, we fast on Zayin Adar, but it's brought down in Megillus Tainis that we're supposed to fast on, in addition, on the ninth day of Adar. Why? It was on that day when there was the first machlokes in Klal Yisrael, the first split. Okay, the first split between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel occurred on Tes Adar. Why Tes Adar? So he explains it's because that was 3 days after the Petira of Moshe. In other words, when Moshe dies, it's like Moshe dies every year all over again. And with Moshe's Petira, 300 halachos were forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Moshe represents Torah, clarity in Torah. With this Petira, there's a Cholsha. Moshe was Nifter, 3 days later, already the Cholsha was sent, and it was the first machlokes in Klal Yisrael between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And actually it says in the Midrash, and there were wars between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, between their students, and 3,000 students were killed in this war. That's what it says. Very, very interesting. But when Moshe's death, it was like the day when the eagle, with Moshe's Petira, Moshe's gone. Who's going to save us now? There's a sakana that Klal Yisrael can come on to do things like they did by the eagle. Okay, on every Shabbos is a minhag. Some minhag eat eggs on Shabbos, some eat beans, different foods which represent avelos. You ever go to a shtibel and they say all those things in the back of the zmiros? Sometimes they make kiddush at sholosh seudos. Ever see this? By a shtibel they make kiddush baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen. Minhag sigit. Am I pronouncing that correct? Sigit is sigit. The minhag of sigit is when you make kiddush in the middle of sholosh seudos, you make it on a glass. Hakpada to use glass, not to use gold. Now, silver, not to use a silver becher. The becher to use for a kiddush by sholosh seudos is glass. Why? A zecher for the petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. The earth, it comes from the earth, sand, it comes from the earth. And you don't use silver, which is choshev, you use something which is very, very modest. A zecher for Moshe. Now, I just tell you before I conclude with the Echav Kaddish, I just want to tell you something I overheard. I was sitting in shul by Mincha, and Harav Simcha Soloveitchik Shlita, he was darshaning there. He darshans very loud sometimes, and I was listening to what he was talking. I have no idea what he was saying, but the topic really caught my attention. And he was giving a drasha about all of the women that had an effect on Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a fantastic topic of discussion, especially in the modern community, to talk about this. Moshe Rabbeinu was affected by women. Let's list the women. Now, what? Moshe Rabbeinu, number one, his mother. Yocheved gave birth to him. Okay? Yocheved was Shifra, what she represented. Moshe only came into existence because of Miriam. Miriam, she influenced. Moshe was married to Tzipora, the daughter of Yisrael. We have a mention of the Isha HaKushis Asher Lokach, which is a machlekes in the Rishonim, is the Isha Kushis a reference to Tzipora, or was it another woman? And what exactly was her influence on Moshe Rabbeinu? We have the Benoi Slavchot. They stumped at Moshe. Okay, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, they came to ask him a Shaila. Okay, they came to ask him a Shaila. And Moshe says, I don't know the answer. B'noi Slavchot had an impact, and that's Torah, and that's a whole sugya in Torah. Had an impact on Moshe. And finally, Bas Parah. So it's a fascinating topic of discussion to see there's not many men in Tanakh who were so influenced by women like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, many men, they'll tell you they have no shaykhis to women. You know, even under the chuppah, there was a mechitza. No shaykhis. A woman is just, I don't know, just an object to produce children. No shaykhis. The man calls the shots, right? Isn't that an attitude you read about in the newspapers? No shaykhis. In the ideal world, women are just, I don't know, they're Moshe Rabbeinu was heavily Moshe Rabbeinu was heavily influenced. His character, his personality, his contribution to Klal Yisrael was heavily influenced by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 6 women. And there's what to discuss and there's what to analyze. Yocheved, Miriam, Tzipora, Isha Kushis, assuming that it was a different woman. Assuming. It's assuming it was a different woman. You have to study the Mefarshim. What exactly was the Torah is telling you this. There's something going on over here. Okay, there's a lesson to be learned from it. And B'nai Slavchad, that's five, that's what I call a group. B'nai Slavchad. And Bas Paroi raised him. Okay, she was his mother. He's called Moshe because Kimina Mai Meshisiu. Okay? Try to find me another man that can say that 6 women had an influence on his life.
Like 3 men who influenced him: his father, Aaron, and let's say
Hori Yeshua. Okay, fascinating topic. Okay, from a Soloveitchik. Okay, Rav Yitzchak Simcha Soloveitchik. It's a fantastic topic for a Shabbos Agadol Drasha topic. Okay, let's just wind down with the minhage of the Chevra Kadisha. Why are they called Chevra Kadisha? Why is it? What's the Kadosh? So some say, Kedoshim Asher Ba'aretz. The dead are called Kedoshim. Some say they're called Kedoshim because it's Lashon Sage Noor. The Chevra, they contaminate themselves. Contamination is the furthest thing from Kedusha. But since that's their role, that's their mission, that's why they're called the Chevra Kadisha. Okay, why do we focus as the Chevra Kadisha on the day of the Petir of Moshe Rabbeinu? For 2 reasons. Number one, Hashem buried Moshe. The Torah begins with Chesed Hashem clothed Adam Chava, and the last inyan of the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Chesed Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So since Moshe was the recipient of Chesed Lames, the Mela, the day of the Chevra Kadisha, should be the day of his Petira. Another time is that Moshe Rabbeinu, he, when everyone was looking for money, the Bizas Mitzrayim, Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvah, Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef. Moshe was Oisek in Cheshul Emes, when everyone was Oisek in money, in business. Mimela, it's Kedai to give the Chevra Kadisha their due on the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira. Let's just wind down. We have the Suda. Okay, someday they're supposed to fast. And the last thing is, this is very interesting. The very interesting is that what song? Some say Akel Moli Rachamim. Okay, but the last thing I caught my attention is that what's the song of the day? This used to be a minuk. A Zayin Adar by the Su'uda of the Chevra Kadisha, which took place in Motsoi, Zayin Adar, the minuk in some communities was to sing Yigdal. Yigdal Elokim Chai, and to repeat and emphasize the very last line of Yigdal. The last line is Meisim Yichai Yekel Beroiv Chastoy Baruch Adayat Shem Tihilosai. That's the nigun. That was the song that was played and was sung at the Su'uda of the Chevra Kadisha, especially the last lines. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu be a successful loss.